Thank you, Peggy and her sister, Patsy. God bless two of you for sharing with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find John's Gospel in the 5th chapter and the 31st verse. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 31, as you are finding today's text. Has anyone ever questioned your authority? Spouses, parents, has anyone ever questioned your authority, mom and dad? Employers, has anyone ever questioned your authority? Co-workers, has anyone ever questioned your authority? Teachers and coaches? Brother Richard, anybody question your authority as pastor at my previous church, but not here? Well, brothers and sisters, we are in good company this morning because the Jews questioned Jesus' authority. And like we are prone to do, in defending ourselves, we're going to see Jesus today like a defense attorney in a courtroom setting. Call witness after witness after witness to testify about his authority. If you will remember in the recent Sundays, beginning in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, we saw Jesus demonstrate himself as Lord and Master over time. And he healed a paralytic who had been that way for 38 years. And then in verses 16 through 23, we saw and heard that Jesus was united with God the Father. And because he was united with God the Father, that made Jesus God himself. And then last Sunday morning, we saw that Jesus is the giver of life. Physical life and spiritual life. Well, the first century Jews, and specifically the first century Jewish leaders, they questioned Jesus' authority. And Jesus is now going to defend his position. If you have found John chapter 5 and verse 31, and you're able, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word? Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 31 and through the end of the chapter. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we have the words of Christ this morning. And as we have had our own authority questioned, and unfortunately, even at times, we've questioned Jesus' authority. Lord, I pray today that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive as Jesus defends himself and his authority in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Direct your attention to verse 31. Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Jesus understood the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament. He surrendered his life to the Old Testament. And I would remind you this morning of Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6. "Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness." And Deuteronomy 19:15, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. But the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." And so again, Jesus, not based on his own personal testimony, because according to Old Testament law, that wouldn't have been enough, but he is going to line out five witnesses to his authority in today's text. And the first one is there in verse 32. Notice that God the Father testifies to Jesus' authority. God the Father. Verse 32 says, "There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." Now that verse doesn't say God the Father, or at least not explicitly. But if you were to look at the language of the New Testament, that word "another," in the language of the New Testament, the word is not hetero, which would be different, but it's allo, which means another of the same kind. Another who also has divinity. Another who is also deity. "And I know that the witness which he," and here we're thankful for the editors of the New King James Version and the New American Standard Bible, who capitalized that pronoun there to help us understand a little bit better that Jesus' first witness that he calls to the stand to testify about his authority is God the Father, who witnesses of me, and his witness is true. And then skip down to verse 37. "And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. Now, Jesus makes a point here of these first century Jews. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Now, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, there were times in which they heard the voice of God, but not these first century Jews. They had never heard the voice of God. They had never seen his form. Verse 38, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent him you did not believe. God the Father has sent Jesus. And because you're not receiving Jesus, then you, again verse 38 says, do not have God the Father's word abiding in you. Brother Richard, when did God the Father testify to the authority of Jesus? Would you turn over to Matthew's gospel with me for just a moment? Do you remember Jesus' baptism, Matthew chapter 3? Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John the Baptist allowed him. And when he had baptized Jesus, coming up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, who said that? Well, God the Father said that, testifying to Jesus' authority. But that's not the only place. Turn over there in Matthew's gospel to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 1. And on Mount Transfiguration, again we see God the Father testifying to the authority of Jesus Christ, God the Son. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Well, who was that? Well, again, it was God the Father. God the Father testifying to the authority of Jesus Christ, God the Son. And so Jesus says, thank you, God the Father, you may step down. The second witness that Jesus calls to the stand in his defense of his authority, in addition to God the Father, was John the Baptist. Go back to John chapter 5 and look at verses 33 through 35. Talking to the Jews, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So John has already told you the truth. That's what Jesus said. Now, in verse 34, Jesus said, now I don't require John, but yet I'm thankful for him. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Verse 35, John the Baptist was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Notice that past tense there. verse 35. He was. Perhaps as this fourth gospel was being written, perhaps John the Baptist at this time was in prison. Or he may have already been dead. But it seems as if Jesus is speaking of him in the past. But how did John, or when did John, testify to the authority of Jesus? Well, stay here in this gospel, but go back to chapter 1. John chapter 1, and find verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, or testified, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." And so John the Baptist, Jesus called him to the stand. He called God the Father to the stand. God the Father testified to the authority of Jesus. He called John the Baptist to the stand. John the Baptist testified to the authority of Jesus. Look at verse 36. God the Father testifies to the authority of Jesus. John the Baptist testifies to the authority of Jesus. And then in verse 36, Jesus' own miraculous works testify to the authority of Jesus. Verse 36, Jesus said, "But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." By the way, if you write in your Bibles, if you circle, highlight, underline in your Bibles, beginning in verse 31 and through the rest of the chapter, I would encourage you to circle the use of the word witness and circle the use of the word testify. And those are related words. Witnesses witness, or witnesses testify to truth. God the Father testified to the authority of God the Son. John the Baptist testified to the authority of God the Son. And Jesus' own miraculous works testify to the authority of the Son. Well, what had Jesus done? Well, remember? Remember the signs already that Jesus has done? John chapter 2, what did Jesus do? He turned the water to wine. That was a miraculous work. That was a supernatural event. That was the suspension of laws that normally govern our world. But Jesus turned water to wine. And then, secondly, Jesus healed the nobleman's son, demonstrating that Jesus is master over distance. Jesus didn't need to see that son. He didn't need to be close enough to touch that son. Jesus, because he is Lord and Master over distance, he spoke. And that son was healed. And then at the beginning of chapter 5, we saw Jesus heal the paralytic. He had been a paralytic for 38 years. Not only is Jesus Lord and Master over distance, he's Lord and Master over time. It didn't matter how long he had been crippled. Jesus told him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk. What happened? He got up, he picked up his bed, and he walked. Why? Because Jesus is Lord and Master not only of distance but of time. And it matters not, brothers and sisters, how long you have been physically sick. Jesus can heal you today. It matters not how long you've been lost and an unbeliever. Jesus can save you today. It matters not how long you've been estranged from your friend or your family member. Jesus can forgive and restore today. So these works testify and witness to the authority of God the Son. And John's gospel is built on 7 of these signs. And we've seen 3 already. And next Sunday we'll see a 4th. And I invite you to be here. But God the Father testified to the authority of God the Son. John the Baptist testified to the authority of God the Son. Jesus' own miraculous works testified to the authority of God the Son. And then beginning there in verse 39, the Holy Scriptures testify to the authority of God the Son. Listen to what Jesus says. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, I need to stop here for just a moment. I am confident that all over the room this morning, members of Emory Baptist Church, that you have confidence in this being the faithful, true, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. Amen? Amen. But please understand that faith in the Bible is not what saves you. It is faith in God the Son that saves you. And it is God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, that testify of God the Son. However, these first century Jews, they had misplaced their faith. Again, verse 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Don't put your faith in the Bible to save you. Put your faith in Jesus to save you. Verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. How does Jesus know that? Verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. So evidently they had accepted other prophets. They had accepted other Messiah-type figures. Verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? The Holy Scriptures, if they had read and understood and they were willing, verse 40, they also would have accepted Jesus as the promised Messiah. But they didn't. But God the Father testifies to the Son's authority, and John the Baptist testifies to the Son's authority, and Jesus' own miraculous works testify to the Son's authority, and the Holy Scriptures testify to the Son's authority. And so now, Jesus, you may call your last witness, Moses the prophet, testifies to the authority of God's Son. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words. But what did Moses have to say about Jesus? Turn back to Deuteronomy 18. We believe that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy were all penned by Moses. And beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, listen to Moses speak about the coming Messiah. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. Notice that capital P from the New King James Version editors. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, notice lowercase p, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So how will you know if it's a true prophet? If what the prophet says comes true. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of false prophets in 2022. But Jesus, defending his authority, called to the witness stand, God the Father, John the Baptist, his miraculous works, the Holy Scriptures, and Moses the prophet. And so, jurors, what say you? If you're a follower of Christ this morning, and perhaps you've been in conversations before, attempting to share the gospel, attempting to share your own testimony, and you may have had asked of you, well, how do we know that what Jesus said is true? Well, hopefully, today, I've given you a resource directing you to John chapter 5. And you might remember, when given another opportunity, God the Father, John the Baptist, Jesus' own works, the Holy Scriptures, Moses the prophet, they all testify to the authority of God the Son. But can I also ask you, brothers and sisters, are you allowing God the Son to have the final authority in your life today? Are you allowing Jesus to be the final authority in your marriage? Are you allowing Jesus to be the final authority in how you speak and treat others? Are you allowing Jesus to be the final authority in how you spend your money and your time? You see, in one regard, we're no different than the first century Jews who question Jesus' authority if we, being followers of Christ, don't allow him to have authority in every area of our lives. Because we call him Lord and Savior. But then there are some of you here this morning. And would you go back to verse 40 for just a moment? Jesus said, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Do you know the reason this morning, ma'am or sir, that you are lost? Do you know the reason this morning, ma'am or sir, that if you were to die right this second, that you would not have a home in heaven? It's because you are not willing to come to Jesus that you may have life. Don't blame it on mom or dad. Don't blame it on circumstances of life. Are you willing to come to Jesus so that you may have life? See, these first century Jews, they had read Moses, but they had not received Moses' words. Which reminds me of one last text that I want you to see this morning, and it's in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 16. Would you turn there for just a moment? Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 16 of a rich man and a man named Lazarus. And listen to how the story unfolds. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, send that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." You say, "Brother Richard, that sounds like a great Baptist preacher story." Even better, it's a Jesus Christ story. And if you're here today and you would find yourself in the same condition as that rich man, I'm inviting you this morning, would you come to Jesus? Would you come to Jesus so that you may have life? That is our invitation this morning. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not question the authority of Christ anymore, in our lives or otherwise. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one moving around except our accompanist, our invitation for you this morning will simply be this. Would you come to Jesus today if you've never come to him previously? You've never admitted that you were a sinner. You've never believed that Jesus died on the cross in your place and for your sin. You've never called on him to save you. In just a minute, after I finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come and lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And today we're inviting you to come to Jesus, to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, to call upon Him to forgive you of your sins, asking Him for you to have a home in heaven, an eternal life. As we're standing and singing in just a moment, I'm going to invite you just to step out of one of these aisles, make your way here to the front. We'd love to greet you, welcome you, counsel with you, celebrate with you, pray with you. If you're a follower of Christ today, God's Word has convicted you about questioning the authority of Jesus in your life. Just as Jesus surrendered His life to God's Word in the Old Testament, I would invite you this morning to surrender every area of your life to Jesus' authority. Your marriage, your parenting, your finances, the way you treat others, your personal life. Allow your Lord and Savior to have and demonstrate His authority in every area of your life. Maybe you're a guest here this morning. God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you if you know Christ as Savior and Lord. Follow through with believer's baptism. We'll take care of the other details for you. But our invitation will be for you as well. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for your love for us. We're grateful and thankful for Jesus, your Son, who is God. And as He has defended His authority this morning according to God's Word, I pray that we would be surrendered to His authority in our lives. Pray that you'd have your way in our midst as we sing unto you during this time of invitation. And we commit all of this to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and God is speaking to you, we invite you to respond today to the invitation.